All right, welcome everybody to the Over Here It's Original, the Ohio podcast. I'm here with my brother Don Cooch.
What's up, though?
What's up, man? Good to have you on. I'm on your podcast. You're on my podcast now. Yeah, I was on your podcast first, man.
Couple of times.
Well, you guys been out here traveling and shit, man, doing it big. Tell us about that. What do you guys got going on?
Man, right now we got pretty much we're taking a break until December right now because James is in Florida right now visiting family. But besides that, man, we got a lot of big stuff coming up with Trapadelic and Reggae 360. Shout out Reggae 360. They're going to be helping us out, get a lot of dates out west and around the country next year. So that's going to be great.
Hell yeah, that'd be pretty good, man. Traveling, getting out there.
Yep.
What do you like most about doing the podcast?
Oh, man, getting to meet new people, for real. That's the biggest thing. And not just that, though, but getting to listen to all different types of music and getting to learn and, like, stepping out of my boundary, out of my comfort zone with music.
Right.
Because there's a lot of music to where, you know, I wasn't the biggest reggae fan before, you know. I mean, I've always liked reggae, but I was never the biggest reggae fan. And now I'm becoming a bigger fan.
Hey,
same with metal.
Speaking of reggae, one of the people going to get that Bob Marley cover.
No Woman, No Cry?
Yes.
I thought I put that on SoundCloud already.
Man.
I'm gonna have to post it, though.
Definitely.
Shout out to my boy Ray for helping me with that.
Bro, shout out both of you. That needs to be official cover out everywhere. Everyone should fucking hear that. It's definitely nice, man. But yeah, I've been trying to tap into other genres, too. I feel like for me, a lot of stuff, you know, I like cool, laid-back music. I like metal because there's times for it.
Yeah.
But I notice how it affects my emotions, and doing what I do every day, it's hard to listen to it because I got to kind of control my emotions and be able to do business and to be able to be calm with metal. I'm just like, yeah.
Like, hype. I'm ready to fuck some shit up now.
But, you know, I got to be cool, Dave. I got to be kicking it, man, you know, to be able to handle business and to do what I do. But when the time comes, best believe, man, you turn that shit on and I'm definitely with it.
Hell yeah, vibe out to it. For real, like, doing the podcast has definitely got me into the metal game a lot more. Like, I was big into it, but, like, there's just so many different types and everything to where it's, like, you really can't just say that, oh, I kind of vibe with this, but I don't vibe with other things, because it's, like, you could be completely wrong about that. You could go to a show and be proven completely wrong, because the show could make you fucking love the music if you didn't even really care for it before, so.
Would you say now in, like, 2019, all these music genres aren't even, like, true genre? It's all a mixed breed? It's all a subgenre of something else?
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody kind of takes their influences from everywhere, you know? Nobody wants to be... I mean, it's kind of hard to be completely original nowadays, you know?
Right.
Because, I mean, you really just have to build off of different styles in order to make your own style, you know? So, I mean... Yeah, I could say that they're kind of mashed, but at the same time, it's leaving, like, a market open for people to create their own styles from many different styles. Like, right now, country and rap are being mixed the biggest. Same with country, or same with metal and rap. So,
right, true.
You know?
True. And we were seeing that a couple of years ago with the metal and the rap, with, like, X and people like Peep even.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like that glam rap. It was really coming back. These rappers wearing makeup and doing it like that. It was kind of touching
It's kind of weird, but at the same time, it's like, you know, people are being different.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting no makeup on, you know. But people do it, man. And the people who are really authentic with it, I got to have respect for it. Because they're doing them at the end of the day. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I just need a cheap Wahoo hat and some
UNs on my feet. Some weed, and some weed, too. Shit.
Time to time, all the time, 24/7. 365.
Shout out to the Ewings, though.
Shout out
Patrick Ewing.
Bow, still white after 3 years.
Support small businesses, you know, definitely. We don't support them big. I mean, we do, of course, to some extent, support corporations, but, you know.
But still,
you gotta like the little man, too, because, honestly, quality over quantity, you know.
Not saying nothing, but a lot of times, you ain't gonna catch me in a pair of Nikes.
Nah. Me neither. Stripes over checks.
Ooh, that's what I like. By the way, what do you think about the whole Drake situation at Camp Flognoy?
I mean, I kind of like it. I liked it for a couple of reasons. And I liked it because, first of all, it kind of humbled him, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, he's realizing that he's not the one on top and he's not the number one like he was. You know, but at the same time, I also thought it was pretty disrespectful to an extent, you know, because, I mean, I fucking, you know, even if you don't like Drake nowadays, this day's generation grew up listening to Drake. So, you know, there's everybody's right. going to like some sort of Drake, whether it's old Drake or new Drake. You know, someone's going to like something by him.
Right.
So it's like you can't really disrespect him by, you know, by doing that to him, booing him and all that. But then again, there's also reasons why people boo him as well, because right. he's, you know, there's all that industry beef that he puts out there. So, you know.
My perspective on it is Tyler books that carnival festival based on his personal likes. He's only going to book someone if he's truly inspired and influenced and a fan of somebody. So the fact that Tyler has a, such a strong, loyal fan base and they didn't receive that well, I think upset him.
Oh, yeah. Because
he was like, you know, I do this based on my feeling and this is one of my favorites.
He was vibing during that shit. Yeah, I saw the videos of him vibing during
and
his set.
And his fans just shut it down.
Yep.
You know?
But there's a reason for that too, though, you know?
Yeah.
I'd feel bad too. I'd be pissed as fuck too, you know, in that situation. I'd be like, look, I tried to. What if I bring Court Mega or someone out there? And people were like, yo, we wanted someone else or something.
Man,
and they're trying to dog my dude, though.
Man, that's Court Mega, though.
But still, though. When people look at it, we look at Court Mega as like that type of artist.
Yeah.
But other people don't, you know? Same with other people think that the same thing about Drake. People look at Drake like he's the fucking best of all time. Like he's still the best. Like he's still doing it like that. And other people don't. So, you know, it all just comes down to that, what your preference is and everything. But you shouldn't just completely dog the motherfucker for it. You know, he's there for a reason.
Yeah.
He's headlining for a reason. You don't just headline a show out of nowhere for nothing, you know?
Yeah, right. And he definitely has
There's people that fight over a headlining spot because of some shit like that, you know? So, I mean, there's a reason why he was a headliner.
Right. Right. Even locally, people fight over headlining spots.
Oh, yeah.
Spots,
yeah. So, I mean, I could only imagine a big artist being like, yo, I should have been last or something. I should have been paid.
Right. Like, yeah, that shit is crazy. But this is something me and you have been doing for a couple years now, man. I mean, what?
Couple years. Yeah.
Come on now. It's been 12, 13 years, probably, I'd say.
Yeah.
At least.
In the works, in the making, yeah, definitely.
So, for the people who don't know, tell them, like, a little bit about that, about, like, the old Northwood days and...
Man, fucking Northwood days is when we first met.
2006.
First got into music together, you know.
2007.
Yeah, 2006, 2007, you know. So, I mean, and plus the music game was way different back then.
Way.
So,
you know, dude, like, T-Pain, Soulja Boy.
People thought signing deals was the way to be, and that's the only way it's gonna
be. 360 deals at that.
There was, like, you could only be mainstream in order for people to recognize you, which at that time it was, like, heavy independent too, which people didn't know.
Right.
Like, there was big independent people back in the day, and we listened to them, but not even like we knew other artists, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like.
For sure. And the local music scene back in them times was a lot different.
Yeah.
You had people really hustling mixtapes, you had a lot of home studios. It was a whole different vibe. People were trying to make hits and like really just vibe out. You know what I mean?
Yep. We really had to grow, though. You know, we really... People say started from the bottom, man. Shit, right. you started from the bottom, too. I started from nothing. I started from saying, hey, I could fucking do this.
Right.
You know? And you started to being like, man, I could do it, too. You know, I could write a little, you know? So, I mean, of course, we both didn't start good at all, either. Not like we were just like that, you know?
Yeah, it definitely took time, man. We've been at it for, what, like 7-8 years at least?
Yeah.
Like, heavy, like, about it. And we're still learning.
It'll be eight next year.
It's crazy.
Officially doing the music, you know.
And we're still learning things every day.
Yeah. And we're only going to keep learning because the industry is forever changing. Check that out. The industry right now is not going to be the same in 5 years.
But that's why you got to build them incomes, you know. You got to build incomes to keep it going. Oh, I was wanting to touch on this. I remember when we first met, man, I had my South Pole jeans on, and it was raining, and I don't know if he came up, it was friendly, it all felt friendly, but he came up and somehow shoved or pushed or tripped or got me, and I tripped, and I busted my shit, and I messed up my brand new jeans, and I was fucking mad.
But nowadays, he would have been like, yo, thank you, man. Because now I got holes in my jeans. I ain't got to pay for the holes in my jeans now.
Now these jeans don't run.
Now he'd be like, yo, these are fresh.
Original. One of one. But shout out to the Reeboks that I had on that day. You know what I'm saying? They came clean. There was nothing wrong. Got the mud off the laces.
Word.
I thought about buying a pair of Reeboks. For real. They're like the same price as you and.
I could do it, man. I would definitely go for Reeboks over Nikes, if you want to put it like that.
Dude.
You know, I feel like Reeboks might even have better quality over Adidas. I've never really dabbled in that game before, though.
You know what's crazy? Reeboks were heavy in the hip-hop game when the Hot Boys were big and, like, Soulja Slim mm-hmm. and the Cash Money days. Bro, Reeboks were popping.
It's funny how there's always, like, trends, you know? There's always either, like, one or the other. Mm-hmm. Kind of like with sports, there's always, like, different companies that do the jerseys as well.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of like that because it also kind of...
Yeah.
We ain't gonna find no shoes that are better than that. Honestly, man, I've had Jordans before. I've had Adidas before, you know. It's not the same thing.
No, it's just
a certain
not.
Comfort and a certain build to the shoes that I really, like, that really brings me towards that brand.
Bro, shout out Core Mega, man, for introducing us both, you know. Oh, man, you gotta tell them the story about going to Philly, man.
Which one?
Bro, we went to Philly to open up for Core Mega, and it was a whole mission. We seen the Rocky statue. I bought a pack of Phillies in Philly. That was cool. We ate at a real Philly cheesesteak spot. What else did we do?
Let's see. I went and saw the Liberty Bell.
Yeah, I was done.
They didn't want to go see it. But we also took a carriage ride around all the cemeteries. We saw the First Bank and all that stuff, you know. So it was cool. Really historic and all that stuff.
The horse kept pooping. The horse was pulling the carriage, pooping in the street, being reckless. We almost crashed. The old lady was really chill, though.
Hey, shout out Ben Frank, too.
Shout out Ben Frank.
OG as fuck.
OG. Shout out Dr. J.
There's a reason why he's on 100. Oh, yeah. Shout out Wilt Chamberlain as well.
Yeah.
They were talking about Wilt being playing out there and how many women he fucked back in the day.
In the penthouse.
They showed us the penthouse.
The lady was like, that's where it happened. And I was like, oh, all right. Geez.
Yeah, but the whole thing in Philly, man, I think I know what you're talking about. When we were showing Mega our shoes and shit.
Yeah.
Because we had to go and show Mega, you know, we got the Ewings on and shit.
My man was a little faded, okay?
I was definitely fucking a little turnt up, you know? So Dave is showing his... He's showing his on his focuses and shit. And then I come up and I show the mids. But as I'm showing him the mids, I'm putting them up on like on a pedestal or something on the stage. And then all of a sudden I kick a beer that's on the stage. I didn't even see the beer because I was drunk. And I kicked this fucking beer and shit
like 10
fucking
feet.
Everywhere. And Megan was just like, oh, okay, yeah. He was like, oh, okay, you know.
It was crazy. It was one of the craziest nights. Cooch got to DJ for Core Mega.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. He went the year before we did that and got to see Core Mega. Then we went back and we met Core Mega in California and we got to do a show in LA. Shout out to Nico and everybody out there. That was a big show. That was a nice one. Shout out to Dan from 550.
Shout out Corey Ladderbush, 6'7".
Shout out
to my homeboy right there.
Had his flash drive for like a year.
That's good people right there, man. He's definitely about his shit too, man, so.
Yeah. And he got his flash drive back.
Right.
After we had it for
He's like, you know, that's good people right there.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah, but
so,
you get that shit to work again? Or?
Yeah, man, I got it. You know, we just had some technical difficulties going on, so I had to get it together here.
For sure.
Yeah, so we got part one and part two coming your way. Real quick, man, are you going to this class December 14th?
Yeah. For Orocho?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
For those who don't know, this podcast is brought to you by Orocho Firearms. My man Kevin Orocho here in Lorain County in Cuyahoga County has a CCW pistol training class for anyone trying to get their concealed license. $60 for an 8-hour class. He goes over everything. Really good dude. Really good peoples, man. So you guys should go check him out. He's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that. Orocho Firearms. So shout out to Kevin. I'm definitely trying to go. You know, I've been putting it off.
But I've been putting it off too because, you know, just
busy.
Being busy. They always fall on the wrong dates, you know. But this date I have set. So, because I've been really wanting to do it. Honestly, like that's a great price, you know, and it's also it seems more intimate, you know, to be there and actually learn. Like if I have questions, I'll be able to ask them, you know. So.
Oh, and I should tell the people we'll be doing a giveaway soon. Me and Kevin are going to be getting together to do maybe a Christmas giveaway. Maybe something after Christmas. But we'll be doing a giveaway for that for sure. So get at my man Kevin Orocho. Orocho Firearms. I definitely want to get it. living here in Ohio, man, sometimes it can get sketchy. I'm sure everywhere it gets sketchy.
Yeah. But
Ohio can be kind of sketchy. So it's just
better to have one than to not have one.
Right. Exactly.
Or wasp spray, from what I heard.
Wasp spray? What is that?
I heard that instead of, like, it's really cheap, so, you know, instead of having mace or something, people buy wasp spray because it shoots, like, 20 feet.
Oh,
and it'll blind the shit. It'll fuck you up. So it's like, I mean, that's actually pretty cool.
Speaking of fucking people,
I would get some for that shit.
Bro, that's like mace almost.
Exactly. It's stronger than mace, I heard. That's what they said. It's supposed to kill wasps, bro. Kill the whole nest and shit or something.
While we're on the topic of violence, I want to talk about the Circle K incident.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's definitely...
Man, that's way bad.
That is one of the most classic Don Cooch moments, folks. If you don't know, you're about to know. So tell these people exactly what happened at Circle K.
Well, I wasn't exactly underage, but I did not have a state-issued ID. And I was going into Circle K to buy cigarettes back when I smoked cigarettes. And then, so it was the same lady that works there every day, but for some reason she must have been having a bad day. And she didn't sell me a pack. And I had two Polar Pops with me that I was buying as well. So, when I went up to the counter and she didn't sell me cigarettes, I was like, why not? I was like, just take the money. And she was just like, she said no, and There were words exchanged. She ended up calling me the N-word and grabbing four of the Polar Pops that I had in my hand. And she grabbed one and one broke. So I threw that at her across the counter. And then I had the other one in my hand too, so I threw that one as well. So there was just pop everywhere in the Circle K, on the probably on the cigarettes, on the register, everywhere. So... And I mean, I bounced out there. I wasn't about to stay at the scene.
So what was the aftermath? Did they get you on camera?
Yeah, they got me on camera, but they also had the sound on the camera. She tried to press charges, but I mean, I pled my case the right way. And of course, they were like, yeah, she called you the N-word, so.
Beat the case.
Yeah, I beat the case. Really? I mean, I still got charged and had court fines and all that, but you know. I didn't get charged, though, actually. It was actually just dismissed. So I was never actually charged or anything. All my charges, I've always been dismissed, so it's like, never been charged.
Always been acquitted.
Not been charged. I was wild when I was younger, man. I didn't give a fuck.
Man, hey, different times, man. Yeah, yeah. Now?
You ain't gonna catch me doing no shit like that, man.
Yeah, we have this accountability, man. We got these businesses. Mm-hmm. We gotta be accountable.
It'll fall back on you.
Right. Well, now, you know, instead of doing some crazy teenage stuff, we've actually been in the game and doing a lot of local music scene stuff.
Yeah.
You know, me and you founded Us Versus Them together, and I think that's a phenomenal thing that me and you have done. It's a really cool collective, and we brought a lot of people together.
A lot of different people.
A lot of different, like, people from Ray. Shout out Ray Anderson. We got Trap, Metalmatic, bro. Fucking Ironic.
Everybody's always kind of been connected.
Right.
But then again, I think that we help bring people together to make, because they're all different, like, genres and different artists, but I think that we kind of bring them together and have them have that mutual thing to come and make music together, some different music, to step out of their boundaries, you know?
Exactly.
So.
Look at Asa, aka Dracula Kong, man.
Man, that is
shout out to Asa.
One hell of an artist right there, man. One hell of a good dude, too, man.
That is a dude that'll for sure give you your roses before you die. Shout out to Asa, man.
Definitely.
Even after you die, he would probably bring you back to life, man. Asa's crazy. Asa would definitely do something like that.
Yeah, he would. He'd try to bring you back. I could see him trying to do some pagan shit, bring you back from the dead. You know what I'm saying?
Hopefully, try to bring you back. You know what I'm saying? I ain't just stuck up in the graveyard.
Oh yeah, part two.
All dead. Part 2.5.
Part two on the live stream. You know what I'm saying?
For those who don't know, we had a technical difficulty, so this is part two, for the podcast. But this is also part two for the live stream here. We had to kick it back, but dude, the local music scene, I feel like, has grown. Cause I'm not throwing no shade, but when we were coming up doing shit at Peabody's as teenagers, everybody else older than us wasn't really showing us love. Rest in peace, J-Lo Blue. J-Lo Blue did my first video for free. Me and Cooch were in it. My dog, Roxy, was in it, who my dad still has. I love her to death. She's a great pit bull. But yeah, shout out J-Lo and Maddo, man. You know, like, Campy, I'm...
Maddo's always showing love, you know? Yeah. Kepi's always been his own lane, you know? Yeah. So, you can't really hit on him for that. You know, he's always done his own thing.
Right. I mean, but there was a lot of people. Yeah, exactly. Everyone basically did their own thing. Nobody really came together. Like, we're trying to really pull people together.
We've been really trying to push for that because there wasn't that, you know? Us, I mean, yeah, you got respect for doing what you were doing, but it's like, it's in Cleveland, nobody wants to, like, it's nothing against the artists, you know? Nobody has anything against other artists unless there's personal reasons.
Right.
But it's like, everybody's trying to get their own, trying to get their self on to where it's not like, to where they're not trying to show love to other people and try to help other people get on as well, when that could help benefit everybody. Yeah. You know? So.
And get everybody on. Because if one person knows something, man, they could teach all these other artists. Like, we've been telling all our friends about how to get monetization going, how to have an LLC, how to really make yourself into a business.
Shout out Chicago, because honestly, everybody that we've been fucking with throughout that whole Chicago scene, they have all been such a great community with each other, you know, and I kind of wish that Cleveland would be more like that, you know?
Yeah.
Which it is to an extent, but it's very broken up, you know, as to where, like, in Chicago with their rap and hip-hop scene, they all kind of came up together, and then they all kind of still, like, fuck with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I mean, that's something, but, I mean, Chance, you know, kind of.
Chance helped them all bring together, you know. Chance, Mick, No Name, Sava.
Right.
You know.
But Chance really kind of, I felt, winning.
Even Vic Mensa back in the day, man.
Vic Save Money. Shout out to the Save Money era. But, so we started all this music scene. I think we really started the scene of the past few years. I can't really say that we started it. But it's probably just trying to bring everyone together.
Yeah, trying to keep it all.
Shout out to Eddie, man, and holding down Blank Slate. Blank Slate's been a great venue for artists, and we worked with him many times.
It's only going up.
Yeah, it's only going up, man.
I can't wait to see. Can't wait to see where they go within the next couple of years, man. Hopefully they get bigger acts. They get some nationals in there, so hopefully that'll help them keep on getting big. Hopefully they spread the word.
Right. But so you actually are certified, though. A lot of people, they kind of learn in the basement or something, but you're like a real producer and engineer. You actually have your certification behind you for going to school.
Yep.
So what was that about?
That was all audio engineering and music production. You know, I went to school in Orlando at the First College. Shout out the First College. They're kind of like rivals with Full Sail down there.
Is it more of an intimate school than Full Sail?
Definitely. And they don't do, like, what Full Sail does. I heard that Full Sail finds, like, the people that they want to push harder, and they take them and kind of like in regular school, like, your accelerated learners and stuff like that. They kind of take them out. Yeah, they kind of take them out and, you know, make them into everything that they could instead of finding instead of showing everybody that they could kind of be that. Right. You know, they try to find, like, the people that are accelerated and that can work quicker and get to a point quicker rather than fucking learn everybody.
Yeah.
Make everybody learn from that shit, you know? So I liked that because it was really intimate. I only had 8 people in my class. So, you know, that helped me be more hands-on with everything too instead of having to learn with like 20 other people about something. Sure. So
that's actually where I struggled in school, man, is having a lot of people around and having ADHD. I couldn't focus. But having a more intimate class, I really focused. I think that's why I was in OWA freshman year, Ohio Workers, I don't know, something.
Some shit.
Yeah. Basically, in junior high, I had all Fs, 8th grade year. So going into high school, they thought I was going to fail and be nothing in life. So they put me in OWA. Shout out to everyone in OWA. Shout out Sully Townsley, Marcus Shannon. I think Kyle Smith was in that class. I don't know. It's a whole bunch of people. Shout out to Mr. Henderson. But going to OWA, I felt, because it was so intimate, there was like 9 people. I feel like that really helped me focus on that, and I learned a lot about history in general, Patton, because I had a really old school teacher.
That's good, though, man.
Yeah.
Shit, sometimes you pick up the better shit from old school people, you know?
Man, I feel like I definitely got an old soul, so I meet a lot of older people, and that's kind of like
I definitely connect with a lot of older people as well, because, I mean, you know, it's really just understanding them, because it's like the younger generation does not understand them and they don't understand us.
Right.
But it's really just trying to understand, trying to push yourself to understand where them type of people are coming from.
Right, exactly. Speaking about pushing yourself, man, I know when you were in Florida, it was kind of rough. I actually went down there to see you.
Yeah.
For my birthday, I actually came down. And you said that you had, it was like, what, 12 miles from there and back?
Yeah. I used to ride six miles on a bike to school. On the state highway, on the state routes in Florida. So
there and
people
back.
From Florida know what the state route's about. You know, I think it was oh man, I can't remember what the state route. Whatever was going through Altamont and it went through Altamont and all the way through Orlando. But man, just riding with the traffic through that shit, through the rain, through everything, man. It's like 6 hours there, 6 hours back. I get there sweaty as fuck. Have to change clothes in the bathroom and then fucking go learn for the rest of the day. Well, no. But I was saying 6 miles there, 6 miles back. Yeah, yeah. But man, but going there, having to change every day, fucking being hot as shit, having to cool down.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it was also cheaper than taking the bus, and I could wake up later because, I mean, you're going to be waiting for the bus for like an hour and a half.
At least.
As to where it took me like maybe a half hour to get to school.
Right.
So, like.
That is true.
It was rough though, man. But that's also a time that I kind of looked at to where I had to hustle, and that's actually where I did a lot of growing. You know, you talk about the Polar Pop incident. That was after that shit, and that was also like, I was definitely cut off from all my friends. You know, I had two roommates, two of my friends. Shout out James and Rambo.
Shout them out.
But you know, I had two of them. But besides that, I didn't have nobody in Florida. Like my dad lived in Key West, but that was like 6 hours away.
Right.
Or something. So it was like, my uncle lived in Fort Lauderdale, but I didn't have a car, you know? So
right.
I was pretty much like alone the whole time. But at the same time, I really did grow and actually become I grew up a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. I grew up a lot and I got into heavy meditation back then. So that's what really helped me become.
Probably helped.
A stable person in a way, definitely.
Did you have a lot of like home anxiety or like homesickness being away and being alone?
Yeah,
like
definitely at first, but I also kind of used that to my advantage as I did, because I was like, I'm doing this for a reason.
Right.
You know, I was like, I'm doing this to better myself. I need to fucking suck it up. Like, come on, man. Like, no, you're a fucking adult now, you know. I was 19 years old. I was like, man, I gotta do this, you know. Otherwise, I'm not gonna fucking do it. I'm not gonna do shit, you know.
Right.
Otherwise, if I wouldn't have gone to school, man, I would have been here doing who knows what.
Who knows?
Getting into trouble, probably, you know.
Regular so. Program.
Yeah, or going to LC, doing some, paying money to them for something that I'm not even gonna do.
Right.
You know, so. Right.
Lorain County shenanigans.
Which I'm not hating on LC, man. A lot of people come up from that shit. A lot of people that are older come up. You know, I'm not even saying college is for you when you're young, man. If you want to wait and do that shit when you're older, do it. Because I've seen people that are older fucking excel through college and fucking get that shit, you know. So don't just think that you have to do it while you're young, man. You got all the time in the world, unless you're sick, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you know you're sick and you really want to knock some shit out, you know. But besides that, man, like, take your time, man. Don't try to push. That's why people waste money in college, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people are like, oh, I'm going to college for this. And then they go through college, and then afterwards they don't want to do that anymore or something. Right. And then it's like, you spend all that money and time on nothing.
And time on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a waste, man. I actually thought about going to college, but there's nothing I could really...
You actually thought about going to the first college. You were thinking about that for a while. Yeah, so.
I was going to go for the same thing that you did. I got approved and everything, but I moved to California. It just wasn't what I thought it was, you know, and there was no way I could get public housing or nothing. So I had to come back home and shit. But with the job, you know, being at this company, I really feel like it's really taught me business and managing and taught me about a lot. Plus, I got mentors. I got other people who own their own businesses to be around me and kind of help mentor me.
Give
to
you
build
a little
that
game.
Up. Give me game. And then, you know, being real, I take it back to my friends, you know, people like you, people like, I mean, you know too, but whenever I learn something, I share it with my people.
Yeah.
I try to bring that knowledge back, you know what I mean?
Because everybody, it's not good being left in the dark, you know?
Right.
And it's good, especially if you really, like, want to get something done and you don't know something, it's good to inform people, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no doubt.
You can't just hold knowledge against someone just because you're like, oh, because I did so much to learn this or I did that,
you know?
But
the people who are power hungry will.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
The people who are really power hungry will really, really keep that shit.
Well, yeah, because they want to capitalize off it.
Right, and people think that they're the only, like, there's only one lane. There's only one person who could be on top. Like, that ain't true, bro.
Nah, man, we're all on top. Bro, yeah. Like, I was telling him the other day, man, you might have an owner to a company, but you also have your board, which are also co-investors with you. And not just that, but you also have the people that they fucking tell. So it's like, you may be the owner, but you also have to have a team, man. Yeah. You can't just fucking do that shit by yourself. Right. You know? I mean, you can, but then you'll be like Russ. And then you'll have like a bunch of fake friends that are there.
Because then you'll have a bunch of goons.
You feel me? A bunch of goons, but yeah, you could have a bunch of money and all that, but at the same time. Where are your friends, though? Who are your friends? Nobody.
I'm super hot. I'm burning up. Maybe it's my thyroid condition.
I'm sweating too, as I always do.
BRB. I cracked this one up real quick. I want a donut. Sammy said she's cold. Sammy's a freezer baby.
My toes are like icicles.
And she got them fuzzy ass socks on.
Yeah, and she has fuzzy socks, bro.
My toes are still like
icicles.
Don't pull it for me, man.
I actually got the Dave Chappelle print socks on, so those are pretty classic.
I got some basic ones. You can't even see them.
I would show you my socks, but they're white with Dave Chappelle on them, and they got kind of dirty from wearing them. I've had them for a little while now, so I need to get a new pair.
Tie-dye them, bro.
Yeah, I should tie dye them with purple and white, bro. Yeah. Ooh, they're the Prince Dave Chappelle socks of him serving pancakes to Charlie Murphy. So, I really think that people need to know about this. I really think that people need to know about your first time mixing. And, like, what kind of inspired you to want to get into the music production?
My first time mixing?
Mixing and mastering, playing with audio.
Do you want to say, like, on a school basis? Or actually, like, in the real world? Like, when I came back home to, like,
just, like, whenever you first were, like, let me try this out. Let me try, let me fiddle with it, you know.
Honestly, like, the first time I picked it up, I didn't know shit really about Pro Tools, you know, or shit about Expand or anything even. I didn't even know anything about multi-timbre instruments or anything, or plugins or anything, so it's like, I didn't know a damn thing. I don't even know about really even fucking mixing shit. It's like, I was just in the shit trying to create some, so it was like, I didn't even know that you had to put effects or anything on that shit. And then, like, once I learned about that and learning how to put the effects on, it's, like, a process. So, it's, like, I mean, doing it was very, I just thought that I'd be able to mix it and it would sound good. Like, I thought that I could just, like, record it and it would just be, like, good.
Yeah, same, yeah.
But it doesn't work like that.
Not at all. I remember having, you know, just early studio sessions at my parents' house. And it was just bad.
Well, it wasn't those bad, too.
We were learning.
The programs were garbage as well, though. It's not like they're really, like, the best.
Right,
They're really basic, and then there's not really a whole lot to do to even edit in those kind of programs, too, so.
Had a stage mic from Best Buy and Audacity.
With the egg cartons on the wall.
With the egg cartons that didn't do nothing.
Everybody did that shit.
Pooch was like, yo, that's fake, don't do that. And I was like, nah, man, nah.
It's a fire hazard, for real.
It's fire hazard. Man. Oh, I think.
Oh, hold on. Shout out to Rich Ott, too, by the way. Rich Ott, that was a big mentor when I was going to school. I haven't heard from him in a long time either, though, but shout out him. He was the best fucking teacher there.
Shout out to the best teacher.
Shout out John LaRosa, too. He was fucking dope. He's a great guy, too. So, you know, those are the two people that I definitely recognized and can appreciate from the first college. So,
and it kind of helps.
Oh, yeah. Rich Ott was, he was very, very genuine. You know, yeah. I definitely look up to people that can be genuine and also fucking give you game, you know?
Right. So. Yeah, man, shout out to my guy, Jose Cuevas. Jose Cuevas is someone that I've actually talked to a lot about game and business and kind of how to keep building this. For those who don't know, Us Versus Him is a collective, but me and Cooch are working on a label.
Yep.
We'll get more into that soon. But we got a lot coming, man.
Trust the process.
Trust the process. And this is 8 years in the making. You know, we done been scammed by people. We done not got sent contracts by big people.
Yeah.
We done sold a bunch of tickets and still got an opener spot by people. You know, I sold, too many tickets to shows too many times and still got put on first or second. which is why when we started throwing shows, we started hooking the homies up, giving them closer spots to the headliner, if not making them the headliner. You know what I mean?
Everybody deserves that spot and deserves that time to actually do some shit like that, you know? How do you know that they're going to pop like that until they do that, though, you know?
Exactly. But what I've been realizing is it all goes by who has stage presence and who could do it. Like, when we were at Blank Slate the other night, I noticed not a lot of people had a full stage presence. You know what I mean? And even though I did mess up on my set, I had really solid stage presence, and I kept the people entertained. Even when I messed up, I still brought them back and ended the show on a high note.
Very true. I feel like that's also, it was also like that because it was so rushed, because the 5-minute thing too.
Right.
To where it's like people even forgot to even announce themselves, or even announce their name, the name of the band,
right,
or announce the name of the song even. They were just kind of like, yeah, we're up on stage, and then he was like, go, and he was like, oh, we start the music now.
It was amazing, though. It was an amazing concept.
Crazy, awesome.
I noted that people weren't introducing themselves, though, so I was like, I'm going to introduce myself and try to, like...
I mean, who are you? You feel me?
Yeah, like, who are you? Put him in the back.
What's his name again? I can't remember. He didn't say.
Right. That's why I try to say something in the beginning and try to say something at the end.
Yeah. And that O-H-I-O shit gets people going, too.
Right, man. Even out in California, shout out to everyone in L.A., man. Every time we do it in L.A. or anywhere else, people love it.
Yep.
But I think Calvin's probably messed with us harder than anywhere, man.
I feel like it's because they're really diverse. They just got a big crowd of different people all the time. So
all the time.
You're bound to fucking have a ton of people that are going to like you either way. You know, for all the people that don't really vibe with you, there's still going to be them big groups of people like, yeah, man, I fuck with them. Like,
right.
Because there's just so many fucking people out there.
And out there, they'll definitely support, man. Ticket sales went crazy when we went out there.
Money ain't shit out there either, though. They'll buy some merch. $10 worth of merch, yeah, right here.
Shit, I got it. But the minimum wage average out there is probably 30 or 40 grand
right.
At least.
Oh, yeah. For salary.
Which is crazy, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's got to be like $15 an hour for minimum wage.
At least.
Pretty much. Like,
that's money. Because
you can't live out there without that.
No matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So what's next, though, huh?
So what's
what you
next?
Got?
So what's
the next shot?
No, I was really wanting to get into the acting, though, because I talked to Asa about it when I had Asa here, and we were talking about the horror movie that you guys did called The Cannibal Hillbillies.
Yeah.
So we were talking about that. Asa brought out some of his legendary acting.
Leroy.
Yeah, so we got to hear a couple lines from Leroy about him getting wet and not in a perverted way. He was talking about how he was on a rampage in the woods in this movie role, just being a crazy psychopath guy.
And that's a perfect thing for him, though. That was a perfect character for Asa to play, though, you know?
Right, it was really a good role for him, you know? And he was talking about, I guess you guys are doing a part two?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Grandma's Revenge.
Grandma's
so
Revenge.
So, hopefully we have more of a creative freedom with this, you know? We have to come up with a script and everything still, but we're going to be coming up with a script and also going off of the script, you know? So that way it's not just written the whole time. We're going to have a little bit of
improv.
Yep.
That's good.
So, and we definitely want to get the sound better on this next film as well. So, you know, that's another thing. We just took notes from the last movie, so there's going to be different things that we're going to be fixing.
Hey, if you guys need some songs for the soundtrack, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we can produce the soundtrack together. That'd be shout out to Trap Jams. Because we're doing that Slaff EP, and the Slaff EP is going to be pretty nice.
Yo. Hey, that's about to be fire, though. That's going to have Death on it, right?
Yup. I want to put Death on it. You got to send them that one flirt beat, because we got that coming. Man, oh, man, we're just leaking all kinds of stuff to the people.
Shit.
Shout out to the new single.
That ain't about to be out for a minute,
out.
Though, either, though. Yeah, shout out to Metalmatic. You know, Nocturnal is going to be fire.
I was talking to Trap, man. I think we should put out that Slap EP next fall and get a couple videos. Maybe do a one-year anniversary video for Death and put it out, like we were talking about.
Yeah, do, like, the fall kind of video. Do it for, like, a Halloween kind of vibe. Definitely.
And shout out Death, man. It's doing big numbers already. Hit over 10,000 streams. It's doing pretty good. It's had some local DJ play. So shout out to all the college radios out there playing it. Shout out to all the local DJs.
You got it on the duck?
Got it on the duck. I don't know, man.
The Duck is that LCC shit, man.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I should submit it.
That's the Duck, man.
Crazy. So, like...
That's real local.
What'd you like about acting, exactly? Like, what drew you to want to act?
I've always kind of liked acting, you know? I've always kind of been able to do that, you know? I also have the voice for it, so I've been told. But, you know... Since I was younger, I was kind of just like, yeah, I wanted to act. I was in, like, plays and shit. And I kind of wanted to, like, take it seriously. Because at the same time, I also study movies and how people kind of, like, become the roles that they're playing.
Right.
So, you know, at the same time, it wasn't like that for this movie. You know, I'm not saying it was like that, but...
He was smoking meth in the trailer somewhere.
No, you know, I wasn't really, like, getting that into character. But at the same time, it's like, I recognize that... I recognize what acting should be to an extent, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And that I have to be professional and not just be corny or cheesy.
But I feel like you approach music the same way, so I think you just recognize art.
Yeah, definitely.
And how it kind of should be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays, a lot of things are saturated. A lot of things really ain't right with it.
No.
I mean, some of it's done right. There's a lot of good stuff out there, but there's a lot of stuff that really just... not authentic.
There's a lot of the same shit too, though.
Right, you know? Exactly. Copy and paste.
There's a lot of shit that's just not original, you know. So, it's just like, oh, I've seen this before. I've done this.
Right, a lot of copy and paste material. It's not good. But what is your favorite movie by your favorite actor? I asked Asa the same question. Asa said he didn't watch movies.
Yeah, right.
So I was like...
Yeah, right. Come on, Asa. Man, he might as well say Ron Perlman in Quest of Fire.
that's what Asa...
He said he don't watch movies, but Asa knows damn well what Quest of Fire is.
Bro, let's talk about it. Quest of Fire was such a crazy movie.
Quest for Fire. Or was it Quest... I think it was Quest for Fire.
It was Ron Perlman as a caveman who was trying to get fire. The whole time.
That was a whole fire, movie. Trying to make fire.
They were just trying to discover fire.
Ron Perlman and his little gang of homies.
Man, it was crazy. They were having unprotected sex and doing some crazy things. With some crazy other cave people. Watch it. I don't even know where to find that movie. Do you think it's on streaming?
Maybe. I'm not sure, but you could definitely pick it up from like the exchange or something. They'll find it for you. It's probably like $5, if any. Not even $5, maybe.
Right.
So, it was like Ron Perlman's first film.
Really? It was his first
one? One of his first films, definitely. Man, he was real fucking young.
What a first movie.
That was like early 80s. It was like 82 or some shit.
That is insane.
So, but in terms of favorite movie and favorite actor, I would have to say one of my favorite actors is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Leo's a go.
Because he's really well, but that's just off the dome.
Right.
So, you know, other than that, you know,
fucking... Do you know who I really... Oh, no.
Rob De Niro, you know, is probably, like, one of them big ones. But, you know... the movie I was going to say was probably Inception. That's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Inception?
Yeah.
Dude,
so
it's a good one.
But what were you going to say?
William Dafoe, I think, is a really good actor. Maybe not my favorite, but really good. Like, the Green Goblin. I was thinking about this earlier when we were talking about the old Spider-Man movies. Too. Him as the Green Goblin was good. Him in the Boondock Saints was amazing. I feel like no matter what he's in, he's a great person for whatever role that is.
He's got a cynical look to him.
He's very cynical.
So, you know.
But, I don't know. It was definitely a good one. It was definitely one that I think...
My favorite acting from Tom Hardy isn't even in a movie, though. Besides, I mean, Bane was cool and all, but, you know, Tom Hardy, the best one that I liked from him was Peaky Blinders.
He was in Peaky Blinders?
Yeah, he was, what was his name? I don't think it was Solomon or something like that. But, yeah, he was a Jew, and he was like a crime boss. He was a Jew crime boss that ended up faking his death and shit.
Oh, wow.
By the end of the series, but he was like... The enemy, but he was, like, the good guy. He was, like, the frenemy.
Right.
The whole time with the main character. So, it was really awesome to kind of see, like, how he did that and how he played both sides and stuff.
Right. I still haven't checked it out. I know you've been telling me about it, but I'm still yet to check it out. I'm going to have to really...
Dude, you got to check out Umbrella Academy, too.
Yeah, man. You've been telling me about that, man. I'm late. I'm late.
Shout out Gerard Way. Shout out Mike Cam too, man. But Gerard Way, Gerard Way, man, fucking genius, man. I listened to one of his interviews the other day. Mm-hmm. It was really touching his creative process and stuff like that, and how he tells stories through his music. And I was like, yo, I never really like put it like that before, but he really does put like a dark kind of feeling into his music, but then he also puts like the story of like of many different types of stories into an album. Not just like, they don't even have to be like with each other though either, but there's always like a different story from a different perspective that he's like going over, and it's always like really dark. It kind of feels like, I mean, their music was really emo. People put it as like emo sounding, but I put it more as like horror rock, if you really want to put it. Because it was really like talking about like some dark shit all the time.
Yes, true.
And I'm into that. I'm into the dark shit.
Yeah.
The light shit, I'm a light person when it comes down to it, but I'm into like all the dark shit because it's beautiful to me.
It is beautiful. Shout out Ricky Hill. Ricky Hill is one of my favorite artists. I think Support Your Local Drug Dealer is a top 5 album, and it's one of the most saddest, darkest albums. But it is so
His voice is very, that's what really adds to it, his voice.
And the production on that album, man. Shout out to Mix by Ali. Yeah. TDE's top engineer, bro. That man is ridiculous. Crazy. Crazy ridiculous. Which I was wanting to get into, man. You know, TDE, they got such strong foundation built from when they all came up. It was all pretty A1. Do you think that we're kind of on to the same path of building a solid foundation, so when everything does start finally bubbling, it'll all be solid?
Definitely, you know. I mean, it's taken a while to get here. But then again, it's like I've also watched shit with TDE. You know how long it was before they were really fucking popping?
Right,
that's true. Fucking Schoolboy was talking about, like, they were doing shows, nobody knew who the fuck they were.
Nobody.
Nobody knew who any of them were and shit. And he's like, yo, we're fucking doing shows. But then again, it's like, it starts like that, though. And once you start getting out there to different states, that's really the only way that you're going to get your shit out there more, is people seeing you.
Right. It takes a lot of money, though, you know? A lot of times
it people does. Trust me, I know about the traveling game, man. That's
we've been traveling too long.
Not cheap.
I remember we went on that short tour a couple of summers ago. It was like 8 dates. And that was wild, man. That was just around Ohio. But it was cool. When we went to Detroit, they knew the words to Purple. Shout out to Detroit for knowing that. They were singing the song back. That was the first time that ever happened. But that was actually a really cool experience.
Yeah. You really got to press, though, you know. You really got to press to, like, you press and learn, though. You can't just, like, learn and try to apply it and just, like, expect it to work, though. Because it's not just going to fucking work. You really got to press for that shit to fucking work. You know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just gonna... You could learn how to do things from other labels. Like, that's how TDE learned. They'd learn from Strange Music, from J-Rock being associated with them and learning from all of them. So, you know, it's like, it's constantly picking up game from people like that and fucking applying it and constantly reapplying that shit. Because otherwise, it's not gonna stick the first time. It's not gonna work the first time. So it's like, you just grow every time. It's a learning experience. You're gonna learn something from every show, every fucking thing that you do. So
right, and I feel like lately being an artist, one of the biggest things for me is like starting to be on the business side and learning how to capitalize on that. But I'm spending so much time on the business side, I'm starting to not be as creative with it. But I also put a lot into this album, for the new album. So I mean, putting so much. I mean, me and you have talked about it a lot. Put so much into that, it takes 20 years to write your first album.
Yeah.
And that's really my first official fucking project. So I feel like with this next one, I'm really trying to baby it and take my time to really develop the concept. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's really
definitely
taking a lot of time. But
you shouldn't rush things, though. No, it's all learning.
Right, because by the time I'm ready to put that project out, we're going to have the label up. We're going to be in a way better situation as well.
Mm-hmm. You know? And also, like, if you put out a project, though, and you do a song, say, like, a while before you even finish the project, you know, that first song is going to be way different from the last song that you create. You know, the vibe is going to be way different from that because of just, like, the time between you making and creating them songs, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of time, a lot
like,
of energy.
It's like, yeah, the first song might be about this and towards this, but the last one might just be, like, the growth of it all and stuff, so...
Yeah, the jaw is definitely something.
Ooh.
Oh, technical difficulties. But man, that's one thing I just wanted to speak on, because me and you talk about growing businesses a lot, and I feel like now that we're actually learning this and getting into it, we definitely have a solid chance. I don't know no one else around the area who's trying to do it like we're doing.
No,
that's why over here it's original. Ohio.
Yeah, that Ohio shit.
Ohio podcast. The most original podcast in Ohio. But gotta give love to the Wake and Bake too, because my man's doing the Wake and Bake and they're doing big things. Yeah, actually, me
shout
being...
Shout out Blind James.
Yeah, shout out Blind James. This is actually... They inspired me to be able to do mine. I mean, I watch Joe Rogan, you know, I watch other podcasts. But seeing them do it and kind of seeing how... the behind the scenes goes with everything.
Fucking crazy.
It was crazy. the first time it's I worth met it, James, it's worth me, it. Me and him had a blind blunt rolling competition where I was blindfolded and James was blind, so of course he qualifies. And he actually beat me, which I guess, you know, that's just how it goes, but I actually took an L, rolling an L that day. And that's typically the first. But it was cool, man. That was a cool experience. But doing that and seeing the behind the scenes is really what made me want to do this. You know, they travel, they interview bigger artists or people like myself. Me, I wanted to have my friends on and people who have a story I want to help share, who I've had crazy experiences over the years with, you know, and someone who I could really just have a cool relationship with and we can talk and just kind of conversate about topics and stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, I just try to keep it as authentic as I can and as... original. I don't, you know, it's really the only way to put it. No, I don't see no one else really doing it this way, and it's kind of cool. It's still like a cool way to do it. I talk to a lot of people, knowing people like you who's in the business, and you have your hands in different things. Right. It's giving other people knowledge, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who can relate to you and me, whoever is on the podcast, or whoever is out there watching.
Yep.
You know? So on that note, it's been about 12, 13 years. Now we here. Where do you think you're going to be in another 10 years versus where you want to be in another 10 years?
Oh, man. Where I want to be versus where I'm going to be versus where I want to be?
Right. So say, based on how everything's going, where do you think you're going to be, but where do you like want to be?
I think I'm going to be doing way more than just fucking music, you know? Same. Probably music will be on the back burner by then.
Yeah.
Hopefully, just because it's like, you don't want to spend too much time in the industry because you don't want to be relevant for so long.
Right.
You don't want to try to stay with the time, at least myself. I don't want to try to be like these rappers that are from like the early 2000s trying to be like these fucking kids out here and shit. Like, nah.
Doing all these drugs,
I want to do it for a reason, but I don't want to fucking beat it until it's fucking dead. And
right.
Want to keep on depending on music because, like I said, it forever changes.
I want to be able to ride that high out and quit while I'm high.
Yeah.
And quit on a positive note.
You don't want to hit that low and then have to make a comeback.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be that dude like, oh, he's making a comeback.
Right.
After this, he's making a comeback now.
Yeah, like, never want that. You know, but Kendrick, the way Kendrick does it, or like Frank Ocean, or even ASAP, they'll disappear for a couple years and they'll pop out.
I
think that's a really good way to do it, rather than someone like Gucci Mane who drops 100 albums.
Yeah.
You know, which I mean, that's cool. That's his way of doing it. But being a mainstream artist, it doesn't work that way.
You don't give people the time to learn your music.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. People want to know your fucking music. And when you put out, like, 100 songs within 3 months or something, you put in 100 songs in a year and people don't even fucking know what to do.
Right, and they're never going to learn them songs. They're never going to listen to all of them. Right. And they could be missing out on jewels, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of that. So
that also comes out with trying to push content too quick and not trying to be worried about quality. It's more about quantity at that point. Because, I mean, whatever makes everybody more money, that's what they're trying to look at. They don't really care about longevity of things or anything.
Right, that's true. But I feel like with that, man, a lot of people need to start looking at the longevity and trying to actually build something up rather than just sit around and waste time and try to hope. You know, I know plenty of people out here in Lorain County who are still rapping out of their parents' basement in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And still trying to make it, but they never really apply themselves to learn the business and to take the time to really study the game and find out really how this works. True.
They all just think it's going to happen. They think that they know it. They think they're going to sign a deal still or some shit.
Man, there's a lot of people out here who are making songs, even getting thousands of views on videos, but none of them monetized.
Not even saying it's shitty music either. Saying it's good quality music too sometimes, and they're not taking advantage of it.
Right.
You know, taking advantage of how they should be doing it, you know?
And if artists don't know, there's a thing, it's the black boxing. So you have 2 years to collect royalties or to have it set up to be collected. If not, you will not get that money. They freeze it, and you won't get it. You have up to 2 years to collect royalties.
You know who gets that money? Bigger artists. Bigger artists will get your money. Them big, well-known artists will get that fucking royalty money. And then you'll be like, but I didn't get my royalty money because I didn't collect it, you dumbass.
That's why it's always
now
good.
Drake's got your money. Or someone like that, you know?
How do you feel about that? Now your money's Canadian.
Right. Or now even fucking The Weeknd's got your money, or Ed Sheeran's got your money, some shit like that, you know? Like,
yeah. But shout out to The Weeknd, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully he puts out a new album soon.
Hopefully he puts out quality instead of... Hopefully he writes his own shit.
Yeah, who does that anymore?
Sorry, I didn't mean to put Weeknd on blast, man, but he knows.
He knows.
He fucking knows. He co-writes. I mean, he's not bad, though.
Look at the credits.
But, I mean, you're a pop star, bro. What do you expect?
Which is crazy to me, because that's kind of like everything he didn't want to be.
No. He started off with being love drunk, I guess you could kind of say.
Yeah.
Love struck, love drunk.
With like House of Balloons and the trilogy and even Beauty Behind the Madness.
His music was supposed to be intimate and more like loving.
Yeah.
But also dark at a moment. Like, there's also darkness to it.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I really like Starboy.
I did too. I bought the album. Yeah. I mean, I listened to it for a while and I was like, you know, I like this album long. I've listened to it long enough. I like enough songs on it to where I'll spend the money and buy it. So I did. And I mean, I wasn't wrong. I mean, I still bump that shit here and there, man. Them songs with Future, man, them things are fire, bro.
Yeah.
Them songs with Future are probably the best ones that he's got on that shit. It's next to the Sidewalks. Sidewalks one with fucking Kendrick, but.
It's fire.
But those are the ones that pop off that shit, though.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about love, too, so it's like, people fuck with that shit. People gravitate more towards that shit, you know, especially with Future. People love Future, so.
I have people who swear by Future. Like, that's their favorite artist. Shout out to my guy, OG Bradley. He's a Future fanatic.
I mean, I like Future, too, just not a whole lot, you know. I like some things by him, but.
Right.
I can't say that I'm a fan, you know. I respect him. Because he does put on people like Doughboy.
Right. Shout out Doughboy for signing this deal, man. Shout out Epic Records, man. Y'all done did something crazy with that one.
Yeah. That shit's wild, man. Doughboy is only supposed to go up, though, man. For real. Yeah, man. From the way I see it, man, he's only going up. So.
Hey, and we actually got to meet him a couple years ago. Shout out Frankie Wahoo, Spider Studios, Rip Flames, Chapo, Doughboy.
J-Mo was there, too, though.
Shout out J-Mo.
Yep.
We actually know J-Mo from way back.
Yeah, shout out J-Mo from them original Funk Volume days with Hobson shows, man. Yeah. Shout out to that. I remember they bring J-Mo up on the stage for his birthday and shit, bro.
That was pretty cool. He actually got to rap with him.
Yep.
Got to rap with him, man. But yeah, man, you know, I feel like we're really doing it heavy and we're really doing something different the way that it kind of needs to be.
Yeah, we're doing it organically. We're not trying to follow the masses either, though. We're not trying to follow what everybody else is doing.
And what people don't get is we're building a business without focusing on money. And that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But we're not creating art or nothing. We're actually losing money, traveling to places.
That'll just get you
all these expenses. Right, but it's all
going to cost you at first, but it'll get you that business eventually, cuz people will fuck with the realness.
Yeah, exactly, and the originality of it all. But I feel like it's really big things. But I must say, man, it's definitely been an honor. Shout out again to R. Rocho Fire and Rhymes. Go and find them on all social media. I think that's a wrap, man. We're gonna have to have you back on again.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
you already fucking know, man.
Don Cooch, tell them about where to follow you.
You can find me at Don_Cooch, KOOCH on Instagram, or, you know, my government, if you know my government, on Facebook.
But if you know, you know.
Yeah. I ain't gonna drop that.
And we out.
Peace.
Peace.
promotion editing software.